So, with that, I'll get started. And as you probably have the impression, whenever you visit California, you've got this image of grape production. It's number two in terms of the acreage, in terms of, not the acreage, but in terms of the production in costs. But it also has got a certain image. When you go to Napa, when you go to Sonoma, you're thinking about sustainable production methodologies. You're thinking about having a glass of wine on the coast. And with that image, you don't want to go as a tourist and have a spray rig go by. And so sustainable agriculture and wine grapes is very important. And when you bring into the impact of overall production, it's about a $150 billion industry in California when you think about tourism. Well, what we have in vineyards is a series of different invasive pests and native pests that have moved on to grapes, wine, table, and raisin grapes. Back in the 40s and the 50s, these were primarily native species, the grape mealybug, the grape leafhopper. And that's when we were using all types of insecticides, including DDT, for their control. And then into the 60s and 70s, we started getting a number of moth pests, leaf roller pests. When I started working in the Central Valley in the early 80s, we had a new pest, the variegated leafhopper. Sprays for that blew up a secondary pest, mites, and we also had some of the worm damage still. Well, what's happening today is we've got three new pests, one relatively old, the black widow spider, and two new, glassy wing sharpshooter and the topic of today's subject, the vine mealybug. We believe perhaps some of the sprays for some of these other pests might be the reason we get black widow spiders and table grapes. So what I'm going to do today is to go through a series of topics on the vine mealybug. We'll first consider this as an invasive species. What parts of its biology have led to such an increase in crop loss? After that, we'll look to see if this spread could have been prevented and how it moved around the state, and what steps have been taken to keep it from moving further north or into new regions. Then we'll look at just one eradication attempt in one county to show why I believe this pest is here to stay and probably will continue to spread in the U.S. Finally, we'll look at methods of farming with the vine mealybug, going from heavy use of insecticides to more sustainable control solutions. Well, this is the vine mealybug, and what I'm going to do in the next series of slides is to offset these Planococcus species against the Pseudococcus complex, the great mealybug complex, which is native to the California region. And we see in that world map the striped red. These are the areas where the vine mealybug has become invasive: South Africa, Argentina, Mexico, and California. And in yellow, this is where we believe the vine mealybug is probably native to. And as Chris and some of the others have talked about reasons for this spread, we've done molecular work with populations of the vine mealybug collected from around the world, and we're pretty sure that what we have in California came from an Israeli population. Now, when I mentioned that to Chris, she told me, aha, there's been a rumor that a grower in Coachella brought wood back from a trip to Israel, and it was probably in his vineyard where this infestation started. So that's how some of these things begin their worldwide trek. To offset this against the grape mealybug, why is this such a damaging pest? Well, one of the first things in the biology of this insect is that it loves to feed on the leaves. It seems to do very well in warm climate. And any of these hemopterans that excrete the honeydew, when they get above the crop, the grapes in this case, and they can excrete honeydew down below, that's when you have an increase in problems. They also feed on the leaves readily, and the leaves will drop off, defoliating the upper foliage. The sun comes down and beats on the grapes and will raisin on the vine. And as we can see here, they get into the cluster, causing direct damage and causing a tremendous amount of rot associated with this. Also, unlike the grape mealybug, it tends to excrete more honeydew. This is a grape cluster totally embedded with mealybug, most of which have now died in that cluster in their own filth on the honeydew excretion. Another advantage that this has in terms of being an invasive pest is that it's got a very wide host range. Over 50 host plants have been noted by Von Walton in South Africa, and some of the ones that concern us are some of the cover crops or weed species that we commonly find in the vineyard. We see here bur clover, a common weed being pulled out of the soil. Vine mealybug is down below the soil level on that weed, below where the insecticides could reach it. So it's got a reservoir outside of the vineyard where that population can remain. We've done temperature cabinet work in the laboratory to look at its development time. Another problem this pest poses compared to the great mealybug is the number of generations per year. Great mealybug typically has 2 generations per year with a winter diapause, which resynchronizes the population. We've got different grape growing regions, from Monterey being the colder area in California to Coachella, our desert grape growing, table grape growing region, and we're finding anywhere from about 2 to more than 12 generations per year. Added with this, it produces more eggs per female than the great mealybug, so you can see we can have explosive populations of this pest in vineyards. 2 last items which make this a very bad invasive pest. 1, it can feed on all parts of the vine, including on the roots, and there's always a portion of the population at any time of the season that's located in one of these hidden areas. We can see here a close-up peeling back some of the bark, very common for it to be underneath the bark. In the right slide, we see it underneath the ground level. We're digging down on the roots here, and it's being found about a foot underground. So that means the foliar insecticides are really not going to reach this insect. And finally, as I mentioned in the very beginning, in other regions of the world, it's been a very good vector of grape leaf roll viruses. In South Africa, they pull vines after about 25 years if they've got the mealybug and the virus, because it spreads around to so many of the vines. So with that as a background, and right now when I give this talk to growers, I've got their attention. They're a little bit nervous. They don't want this pest. Let's see how it spread throughout California and just ask the question, could its spread have been prevented? Well, I'm going to answer that right off the bat. I don't think it could have been prevented because it was not a pest that we were actually looking for. First found in the desert table grape regions in Coachella, we thought it came from Mexico. The Mexicans thought it came from the U.S. One of the things that happened is that these pictures that as entomologists we show, these are the movie star photos of these pests. This is Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. You saw what it looked like on the vine. People thought initially that this was a just bad infestation of the great mealybug. It probably went for 4 or 5 years before people really understood that this was a new, important, and invasive species. It then spread around 1998 into the Central Valley on table grapes, most likely that couldn't be marketed for table grapes because of the infestation, taken to be processed for juice grapes or perhaps put through an oven for raisin grapes, because we first found infestations in the Central Valley near processing plants where material had come up from Coachella. So we didn't have initial restrictions on movements. It was a Class B pest. Then an explosion, we see here on a map in 2006, it really spread throughout the state. What happened to this pest to allow that spread? Well, first we'll look at just one region. If we go back one slide, we're going to go right here to San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara counties. Initial finds in 2002, fall of 2002, 4 sites, but not a really determined eradication program, Class B pest. So it was localized attempts to remove this pest. 2003, another 10, 12 sites were added. 2004, it was now spread throughout the county, and each grower was on their own to control it. Unlike the talk we just saw previously, not again a statewide eradication program. Now, of course, completely found throughout that region. Well, what are some of the ways that this was moving around? Locally, we'll look at first. We see the video up there. This is an ova sac. We're going to tease that apart, see the orange eggs inside. we believe that the crawler stage is probably the dispersal stage for these mealybugs. The crawlers will get on leaves. We've got about 1,000 first, second instar mealybugs there. We can see in the video how quickly the crawlers can move. They disperse away from that ovisac to outside onto leaves, very easily picked up by animals, birds, moved from vineyard to vineyard that way. As we can see how quickly those crawlers move. As these leaves are infested, they fall off the vine and they're blown by the wind down the vineyard row. It's like a sailboat full of mealybugs. As that leaf dries up, they get off that sailboat, walk up to the vine nearby. So that's localized movement. We also know for regional movement that it can get picked up by field crews, by workers, moved from vineyards to vineyards that way. And with mechanical harvesting becoming so popular with wine grapes right now, we know that's how it's being moved from vineyards to vineyards in a number of the wine grape regions. But the greatest amount of movement came from what we were purchasing. Remember, it got down into the southern San Joaquin Valley, 1998 probably. It got into some of the nurseries. And what we have here are reed plants right there growing in, going in. Growers were purchasing infested vines that were being treated for the glancy-winged sharpshooter with a foliar spray. This didn't get to the material on the roots, so we were purchasing and buying and infesting vineyards. And that's the greatest cause moving around the state. So what are we doing to prevent it, especially if you're a Washington grower, an Oregon grower out in the audience? Well, working with David Haviland, Walt Bentley, and myself, looked at hot water dips for dormant wood material. It's just a series of different hot water dips. We can see it going on here down in production. Very important for replants. Gives us 99.9% control. So we know that we've got good dormant wood material, but we don't have green wood material. And we still have a lot of green wood being traded. Another technique that's being used is that we go into the infested vineyard with our mechanical harvester at the end of the day, or if it goes from an infested block to a new region, they try to wash it down. One problem is you can't spray an insecticide in a mechanical harvester because it's about to go into another vineyard. All you can do is either Clorox bleach spray or a high pressure spray. One thing that Lucia Varela, Rhonda Smith, and others in North Coast, Napa, Sonoma found was that the mealybug can actually survive the crush. What we see here is pumice that would go after the crush, spread down the dirt roads to reduce dust as a pest management control tool. Well, the mealybug would survive that. Not a great percentage, but some would survive. So again, the growers were spreading the mealybug around. Now they've come up with tarping systems to increase the temperature in these pumice piles to kill the mealybug that way. And finally, I'm going to go back to the laboratory study. Now this is to scare the growers a little bit north of us in California and those in Washington and elsewhere. We have used common temperatures from Oregon and Washington, and even in Canada, which I'm not showing the data here, but we do see the populations will have about 1.5 to up to 4.5 generations per year in these different grape growing regions. So we think it does have the potential to spread if we're getting wood transferred between these different infested regions into uninfested regions. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with eradication because it's a done deal in California. We've lost it in California. That's what I'll say. And I'll show you one of the best eradication attempts that we found, and this is from Napa County. They came up with a compliance agreement for this pest, which was based on harsh insecticide sprays, but probably started 1 year too late, 1 year before we knew where the mealybug was located. Older vines get very heavily pruned. The material is bagged and stored outside of the vineyard to let it rot. New vines, replants, the vineyard gets pulled or the replants get pulled out. And then they've got a spray program that usually is about 6 to 7 insecticides per season, 2 applications of Lors Van or organophosphate, and then a series of different in-season sprays, including systemics, carbamates, IGRs. What was the outcome of that? Well, they first found the infestations in 2003. They had the compliance agreement. They still have the compliance agreement today. And we see that there has been a steady increase in the number of vineyards infested, such that right now there are probably even more vineyards infested. But so many growers in Napa and Sonoma just say, yeah, I've got it. I'm not going to report it because it's everywhere. So that's why I believe this is in California, and it's too late to consider any eradication programs except for the Sierra foothills, where it's still isolated enough that we can potentially eradicate it. So I've scared those up north that don't have it. I've explained to you that it's in California for good. We're going to now look at what can we do besides spraying seven times per year to develop a program to farm with the vine mealybugs. So because of time constraints, I'm just going to quickly go through some of the control tools that we have developed. The first and most important was working with Jocelyn Miller out of UC Riverside, who is a fantastic pheromone chemist, and he developed, he identified and synthesized the vine mealybug sex pheromone, as well as the obscure mealybug, long-tail mealybug, and grape mealybug pheromones, which are now being tested as well. We went out in the field and we found that we can put this into a pheromone, into a trap, and monitor for the adult male flight. It's not perfect because we can have low counts and high mealybug densities, high counts and low mealybug densities. That very frustrates growers because they get a count of two or three mealybugs in the trap. They want to do an eradication, but they can't find where that female population is. And in fact, the pheromone might be so good that it's pulling mealybugs that are being blown by the wind. And we're finding that the actual infestation might be a quarter of a mile away. So initially, we hope this could be used to identify specific vineyards and vines. But instead, we just know there's a mealybug someplace within, say, half a mile. So it gives us an idea, but it's not a good exact science. Also, growers were putting on so many insecticides, finding zero counts in their traps and saying, what's going on? Well, we see the male mealybug, the only stage of the male with wings is the adult stage. It's a very fragile insect. It will live for only 3 or 4 days during the summer anyway. With all those insecticide sprays, we're killing all the males. The females are remaining underneath the bark, relatively safe from some of the insecticides. So we get zero counts in the traps, but still find the mealybugs. Insecticides are the most important control tool, but they have variable impact. And what we found is that the organophosphates and the carbamates, Lorsban lanate, are the most important, most effective in a heads-up competition, and some of the soft materials are not working that well. Again, it's increased the amount of Lorsban used. We can see here the increase in Lorsban from 1996 to 2005. So removing some of our sustainable programs. What we see in the video is what I think is probably the best answer for mealybug control, and that's to improve our biological controls. We can see here one of the biological characteristics. The wings are going up, the egg is going into the mealybug, and the mealybug is reacting to that. That behavior actually becomes a problem. Now, we've looked at the different parasitoids, done climate models. We think this Anagyrus pseudococci best matches the vine mealybug compared to some of the predators, other parasites. So that's the one we've been focused on. But its problems is that it doesn't attack the mealybug well underneath the bark. Percent parasitism here in the open circle, very good in the on the leaves, very bad underneath the bark because of that characteristic biology of going up and down the mealybug to size it. Another problem with it is that it's got a characteristic overwintering pattern. In the dark bark bars we see here, parasitized mealybugs taken to the insectary. In the pattern one, we've got them left outside. They were stung up November, December, January, February, March, April. In the insectary, emergence time of about 3 weeks. Outside, the parasite's always emerging in May. And so there's a delayed reaction. It doesn't start until very late. last two slides I'll show you, the last problem these have are with ants. We've got a video up above with a ant parasitizing a mealybug. What we see on the graphs is that the mealybug density with and without ants, ant-tended mealybug density is quite high, ant-excluded in red, very low density. Bottom graph, that's specifically because of parasitism. Ant-excluded, very high parasitism. Watch what happens when this parasite comes back to those ants, and we're going to see that the ants aren't always just picking up the mummies. In fact, what we think the greatest impact is that the ants are disrupting the adult parasite from ovipositing. And this is especially true for the invasive Argentine ant, which is very common on the coast. We'll see the reaction. The ants are smelling with their antenna, boom. And so that's the disruption of parasitism. We are working with tools with this. I will talk about this later because my time is up. We're working with mating disruption, which we think also increases parasitism. So we've gone from insecticides to a better monitoring program to bringing in better natural enemies, mating disruption, and finally we're even working with sniffer dogs to try to find where these mealybugs might be in the field. I apologize for going over, and I thank the collaborators for helping.